Hello, my loves. Before we get into the juice of today's conversation, I will open with our special. So I have a beautiful program called The Nourish System. It's all about getting clear on what your nervous system is and what your default stress reaction is. Are you a fighter? Are you a flighter? Are you a freezer? Are you a fawner? And typically it's $333. We're giving you a discount today, which brings it down to $267. You can head to daniellelaporte.com/nourish system and use the code POD110. That's POD110 at checkout. You get your 20% off. This is valid until 11:59 in your time zone on Friday, April 26. What you need to know is that there are 8 modules. I deliver everything in audio and in video and in written format with worksheets and practices. This is meant to be a holistic approach to nervous system regulation because I feel that the conversation around this is really, in the mainstream at least, devoid of looking at how your spirit, your relationship to soul, your daily practices for connecting with your higher self, work on regulating and nourishing your nervous system. And what does your nervous system have to do with the quality of your relationships? The answer is everything. Here's some praise from some people who have been through the course. Oh my gosh, I nearly cried when I opened Danielle's latest offering on the nourish system. Everything she offers is soul food and offered with such love and intention. And that's from someone named Danielle. Thank you to you and your team for this wonderful offering, this much needed program. Since this summer, I just fell off in my body, mind, and soul. And now I know it was because my nervous system is so dysregulated. Thank you for this, Beth. And then from Bonnie, I'm so excited to begin this journey. As a life and wellness coach, I am constantly bombarded with offers and programs, but I've been following Danielle for years and I trust her, and that is huge for me. The last 3 years have kicked my ass. My dysregulated is dysregulated. I got you. DanielleLaporte.com/nourish system. Use code POD110 for 20% off. All right, my loves, I have a possible universal truth, or at least this planet truth to throw down, which is you can't rush your healing. You can't rush your healing. It comes on the soul's timeline. And if that's a fact, at least in my experience, that's a fact. As much as I've wanted to rush through it, I wanted things over. If that's a fact and we can't rush the healing, then how do we handle the pain? And I think the answer is in that question. It's not so much about handling the pain. It's not even about managing it. It's about meeting it. Meeting it helps us manage and handle it. Yeah, so for me, learning to not push away my pain, degrade myself because I was in pain, beg for mercy with my pain, although sometimes I do that still. Learning to not push my pain away, both the physical and emotional pain, has been one of my greatest, most useful, most practical, effectual learnings ever. It's been one of the hardest learnings. It's been one of the most luminous learnings. It's really a walk towards acceptance. And by acceptance, I mean capital A acceptance, the soul quality, the virtue kind of acceptance that is the daughter of loving kindness, you know? It's up-leveled my life, learning to not push my pain away, to accept it, has changed my entire life. Definitely changes the immediate dance, the physical or mental or emotional thing that's going on. What you're about to hear in this episode, where are we? Episode 110 of With Love, Danielle, is a highlight from a workshop that I gave recently called How to Heal for Real. And it was about shifting our relationship to pain and disease. So VS, who's a metaphysical practitioner that I've been working with almost a decade, she and I mapped out this learning to help us reframe our relationship to both physical, mental, and emotional pain, And I sprinkle in some really powerful metaphors into the Heal for Real teaching that helps us to prevent the mind from being in a pain state and then spinning out into full-blown suffering. Because we can get mindful enough and compassionate enough and parental. Is that the right word? Yeah, that's the right word. Parental enough with our pain that it doesn't take control of us. We keep it in the back seat. We keep an eye on it. We're loving it. We're embracing it. But it's not leading us to that place where we are out of control. It reminds me of this moment I had in childbirth. So I gave birth in my home. And it was like first few really intense contractions. And I let out this yelp. That's the only word for it. It was a yelp. And then very calmly, my very seasoned, been around for so many births, midwife said to me, "Did that help?" And it was clear she wasn't being cynical. This was like instructive. And I thought about it. I said, "No, it didn't help." She said, "How about you just try it differently the next time?" And I embraced the contraction and I didn't yelp or whelp. And I was able to just breathe more deeply through it, which is way better than feeling spun out by the pain. And that's the difference between trying to rush the healing, rush the contraction, get through to the other side, and actually embracing it, being with it, and expanding because we're embracing the pain. And I think that actually makes the pain move through more quickly. So we need to try and float on top of the emotional waters and to keep the debris of our fixation on pain. Fixation on pain, that kind of mental looping, creates mental debris. It's like the flotsam and jetsam in the emotional waters. And there's ways to not fixate and not create that junk. So the more stable we are, the more we're able to handle the emotional storms and the health storms that come our way. I think attachment plays a massive role in our pain and in our healing, which you are about to hear about in this episode of With Love, Danielle. So this is why we're here. I want to support all of us to shift our relationship to pain and disease. You know, I don't love new agey word twists, but this one is really appropriate. Disease. A big part of that is going to be how we use our thoughts, our speech, and our actions. The ultimate is I want to help flatten, I want to help lessen, mitigate our emotional, mental, and physical suffering so that we can heal for reals. Now, here's the context for this. You're going to be hearing lots about why disease occurs. It's really just stuck energy. It's congested energy. Keep in mind that we're going to leave lots of room for mystery. So some of us are dealing with the mental stuff, the emotional stuff. Some of us are dealing with the physical stuff. It's really easy, especially in this wellness space, for those of us who see ourselves on the path and we know that our thoughts affect our reality, et cetera, et cetera. It's in this space that I see the most criticism come in for people. That we should be further along, that we shouldn't have the migraines, that we shouldn't have, if we were more evolved and enlightened, we wouldn't be manifesting this bullshit and this pain and this suffering. I'm going to talk about the difference between pain and suffering. And really, really, the intention today is to have us embrace our pain so that we can stay out of the suffering. Pain is inevitable. The suffering really, I mean, this is a bit of a new ageism. I really do believe that much of the suffering is optional. Let me give you one of my favorite quotes, Alan Watts. There will always be suffering. I'm going to put a fine point on this. There will always be suffering. The trick is to not suffer over the suffering. I think what I would rather say is there will always be pain. The trick is to not let that pain become suffering. Pain going to happen. It's part of duality, but I want to get us out of the repetition of thoughts that bring us into, we just go south into that suffering vortex. We also need to consider karma.
So in the heart-centered space, we're here. This is metta, true metta, M-E-T-T-A. This is also M-E-T-A metta. This is big picture. This is vast. This is long haul. This is eternity. This is devotion. So from lifetime to lifetime, and you don't necessarily have to believe in that paradigm, but we are dealing with stuff from the past, whether it's this life or it's other lives, other dimensions. So some of this stuff is out of our control, our human control in this incarnation. We agree when we come in that we are going to burn through stuff that has been accumulated prior to this reality. And this is a big reframe, but that it's an honor to do that. It's an honor to receive those assignments from our soul, and that all suffering is just an opportunity for expansion. Okay. Let me run through some philosophies I have on healing. We're not going to go into this too deeply. Really want to create this as sort of like a philosophical poster piece that will guide us for years to come. I think this is only half of it, but this is sort of in progress. We're here on the planet to heal. We heal by remembering our true nature. By remembering our true nature, I mean we have correct identification. We start identifying as being the healer, not so much as the wound. The belief is that we're all from one source. A belief is that the soul governs our experience. We are victims of nothing, that we are the beloved of something greater. The body is a vehicle of awakening, period. Pain in any form, mental, emotional, physical, which is what we're focusing on today, is always a cry for love. Love being our attention, our consciousness. All conflict, inner and outer, local and global, is a cry for unity, a call for unity. All suffering is an opportunity for expansion, to become more conscious. Healing is always possible. It doesn't mean we will grow back our limbs or our teeth, but the relief, the peace, is available to all of us all the time. The path to healing is a heart-centered life. Heart-centered is inclusive. Your shadow, your light, it's in. Everybody's shadow and light is in. Healing ourselves as individuals is our greatest service. You want to heal the world? Heal yourself. And everyone's healing path is their own. So there is not one methodology for all. And it's a little on the brazen for me to say, but if you come across a teacher who says, like, these are the 12 steps that apply to everybody, you maybe want to leave the workshop. Okay.
Hey, my love, before we go on, I have a question for you about your stress. I want to know all about it. More specifically, I would love for you to know all about it. A dysregulated nervous system looks like fighting and pushing against, flighting, just bailing and saying, I'm out of here, I can't take it anymore, and freezing and clamping down. So we created a beautiful metaphorical inquiry process where you can find out if you're the rhino, are you the pusher? Are you the tortoise? Are you the kind of clamor upper where you don't want to move and you've got all sorts of intellectual justifications why you should just stay put? Well, I have a little quiz with big breakthrough results. It's free and it's about getting clear on your default stress reaction so that we can help you move into more of a heart-centered response to all the things that life throws at you. Help you get into a regulated nervous system, which means all kinds of things, clear thinking, more harmonious relationships, better sleep at night, all the good things. It's quick, it's fun, it's deep. DanielleLaporte.com/stress quiz. Lots of people really digging it. DanielleLaporte.com/stress quiz. Get you too relaxed.
So I have a visual for you. If it works for you, close your eyes for this. If you're a visual learner, close your eyes. If you're an audio learner, close your eyes and listen. Or you want to keep your eyes open. Okay. This visual is going to set the tone for unpacking these lessons. So you see a huge reservoir that's filled with water. Might be the drinking supply for a city, a town. You might want to see it as a dam. I prefer a reservoir. Go with whatever. It's filled with water. There's some debris in it. That's what happens. Things fall from the sky. Okay. Now there's a huge thunderstorm that comes in, a rainstorm. So there's a big downpour of water and the reservoir starts to overflow. And that means the debris rises to the surface and that kind of garbagey stuff is also overflowing. Okay. That's it. Just got to see that reservoir. You can open your eyes if you want. So let me break that down for you. The reservoir is your mind. That is the container. The water is your feelings, your thoughts. Those are interchangeable for a lot of us. That water is that emotional, watery content. The rainstorm is a pain event. So it could be physical, mental, emotional pain. There's been an occurrence that comes into your mind. It's an experience. The debris, the garbage that overflows, represents our thinking, our overthinking. So there's always going to be some debris in the reservoir. It's overthinking. It's attachment to something that's going on. The water is thought itself. You're going to think. The thoughts are in this container called your mind. When we get all obsessy about a particular thought, it becomes a little bit garbagey, becomes dense, and things overflow. And that's when those pain incidences turn into suffering. We get obsessy about the pain, and then we suffer over the pain. We actually do not need to suffer over the pain. Pain is a natural life experience. Pain and joy, pain and joy. We can witness it. We hold it. We get attached to it, suffering. We get attached to it, it creates congestion, which is really the definition of pain. And that attachment, that overflowing, weighs down the mind. It's the mind looping. And we think we're not going to heal. We believe prognoses, whether they're mental or emotional. You're never going to get over this. You're not going to heal, et cetera, et cetera. Obsession, mind looping, returning to our judgment about the pain is only going to lead to more disease. That's the breakdown. You become more uncomfortable the more you obsess about the pain. You become less at ease. You become diseased. And that will have a physical manifestation, mentally, emotionally, or physically. So what's the way through? We go back to the reservoir. How do we have less debris in the reservoir? So when the pain comes, there's just this like kind of natural spilling over of the water, or we can contain it. The container gets stronger. Less debris comes from less resistance. It's the resistance that creates the stuff, the density in the mind, the garbagey stuff in the reservoir. I'm going to obsess on this thought, becomes dense, becomes more suffering. Running from what you don't want is a form of resistance. It is the same type of thrust as giving your pain too much privilege and attention. You can talk about your pain all the time. You can worry about your pain all the time and it becomes suffering, or you can run from your pain all the time and it becomes suffering. So less resistance. This, of course, is counterintuitive. It's counterculture. I should accept my illness. Yep. I should accept my fear. Yep. I should accept this uncomfortable, abusive situation. Yep. Doesn't mean you're condoning it. Doesn't mean you're voting for it to continue. You are being spacious. You're letting it float on your mind instead of holding on to it. So less resistance is fewer ideologies. Less resistance is fewer opinions about why you got to what you got to. Less resistance is no judgment about what you've manifested. Less resistance is, and I know this is a difficult one, Less resistance is less attachment to the outcome. And this is the work of spiritual warriorship. We need to endeavor, pray to be less clinging to wanting to live, wanting to have the relationship work out a certain way. So we've all heard the universal adage, what we resist persists. It's such a great way of saying what we resist and defend becomes stronger. I want to break something down. So the quote here is, when we experience resistance in our form and in our lives, we experience the disease. So form here refers to all of you. So you've got your physical body, you have your mental body, your thoughts, you have your energy body, which is all the meridians and the energy lines that run through your physical body. And then you have your astral body, you have your emotional body, your watery nature, your lower chakras, your feelings. It's four energy bodies that make up your form. So the important thing with this is to know that we are going to have and create resistance in our thinking, in our physical bodies, with our emotions, and with our own energy. And that's what's going to create some log jams. So I want to put a fine point on this. So we talk about what we resist persists. Let's take this a step further. What we resist and defend actually will become stronger. So I'm turning up the volume on this. So you can resist it. And, you know, I think most of us think it'll just keep coming. It'll just keep being there. No, actually, you resist it. You start to defend against it. You start to push against it. You've created a kind of inner battlefield, a war, and you're actually making the thing that you are fighting against stronger, because that is how it works metaphysically, push-pull. So when we set something into motion from force, setting something into motion can be done with your thoughts. This is really key. You set it into motion with your thoughts. You set it into motion with your words. You set it into motion with your action, with your behavior. You do that forcefully, you are going to elicit a response. You're going to magnetize an equal response. Like attracts like. If you fight against something, your volume's 10 out of 10, you're going to get 10 out of 10 volume back. Something put into motion with force will attract a forceful response. Something put into motion that is a gentle thought, gentle speech, whether you're speaking to yourself or you're actually verbalizing it, a gentle action, love soaked in all of that, forgiveness, compassion, radiance, resilience, you're going to get all of that back. So we don't fight it. We be gentle with it, because we want the pain to be gentle with us. We want the other person to be forgiving with us. That's the response. That's the infinity loop. It's a beautiful practice, actually, in the Heart Center membership portal. It's that infinity loop practice. So if we're forceful, the effect is anti-force. Okay. The other important part here is that our forceful, defended, offending, sometimes obsessive responses or reactions are often, I would say almost all the time, coming from our unconscious self. So it's the stuff, it's the unhealed stuff that's going to fight back, because it's not mature yet. It's not heart-centered yet. I remember doing this in school. It's so awful. Like, you know, when you're in grade school, somebody would find a bruise on your arm or like on your shins, and they would poke your bruise. It's like, and when your bruise got poked, you'd want to punch back even harder. You want to find their bruises, and that becomes the fight, right? So that unconscious pain, when it's provoked, gives that pushback. So most of us, the rainstorm comes, the difficult emotional, psychological thing, it's hitting something that is unhealed within us, and we want to say, this is happening to me, not for me, or I'm going to sue, or I'm leaving, or this isn't what we agreed to, or we get critical and we get overly demanding and we start clinging to the contractual outcome and how we want it, because not healed. We're healed. We're heart-centered. We can keep our reservoirs calm no matter what, because we see how vast and supported we are. We're more in touch with our interconnectivity, our true nature. There's no debris to kick up. We've healed the bruises, so we don't punch back. But no healed, we become antagonistic. I think when we move into that space of acceptance, capital A acceptance, virtue, which is not resistance. And I want to say, you know, it's not even in opposition to resistance. It's just not resisting. I feel like we get another sword in our kit that we ideally don't have to use, but it's the sword of discernment going forward.
All right. So there's your highlight from How to Heal for Real. And did I mention earlier on? I don't think I did. That was one of my most highly attended and appreciated workshop online offerings ever. What I'm doing now is I'm creating beautiful audiobooks out of all of my workshop offerings. So you can go get the video version, the audio version, the slide deck version of the How to Heal for Real workshop. If you go to daniellelaporte.com/how to heal, so you get instant access to all those things, the workshop, audiobook, all the resources, the transcripts, digital wallpaper, it's all yours. It's layered. I'm really focusing these days on learning transference, taking this like really deep metaphysical content, communicating it in a way that's accessible, and then giving you practical tools. So when you get in the mental storm, when you get into the physical challenge, you're like, oh, there are these three cue words, this power set of mantras. There's this one visual that I got from Laporte in How to Heal for Real. And you get back to center and we help mitigate some suffering. Okay, there's another update. So how I've been working my heart-centered membership for the last 4 years is that anybody could come in any day of the week. The doors were always open. That's going to shift soon. I'm putting the membership on pause for the next month or so. And then in June, we are going to fling open the doors. I'm doing 3 months focused on relationships. I'm calling it the Summer of Love. In June, the theme is called Actually Healthy Validation, how to create relationships that are resentment-free and healing. And here's the one thing I'll tell you about my perspective on relationship teachings in too much of the wellness space. So much of that content is focused on how to manipulate other people to get your needs met. And I think that's kind of gross. I think a lot of it does not have enough to do with being loving. And being loving doesn't just include loving the other person that you want to get your needs met by, but it includes loving the fragmented parts of yourself. And when we do that work, there's a lot more harmony across the board. And I think there's a shadow side to validation, and then there's a heart-centered soul side to validation, to our healthy need for it, our requirement for it, and how we can really sort of up our love game and become really great at validating people for the right reasons. So that's going to be the focus of our workshop in the heart-centered membership in June. So you got to be in the membership to participate in those things. You get the workshop, you get the slide deck, you get the audiobook. And then in July, in keeping with Summer of Love, I'm going to do a teaching called Much Deeper Intimacy. It's about overcoming our fear of rejection, which shows up everywhere. All kinds of relationships, and building connection with everybody, with the fragmented parts of yourself, with your kid, with the people in your life who have died, with the guy who's giving you your peppermint tea, with your boss, with your lover, maybe it's the same thing, with everybody in your life. We are all actually longing for deeper intimacy. emotional, heart-centered connection. But what gets in the way? Fear of rejection. And then in August, within the membership, we're going to do a resentment cleanup. And that cleanup is going to extend to our parents, our caregivers, all the family of origin, original community stuff. I'm going to walk us through the wound to healing sequence. It's going to be deep. It's going to be a little crunchy, and it's going to bring us to a lot of relief. First, you got to have the epiphanies around what you resent and how we can clean it up. I'm going to help facilitate those epiphanies. And then I'm going to offer a new practice around creating devotional platters. We're going to spruce up our heart-centered altars. And that is the Summer of Love in the Heart-Centered Membership. So what I would love for you to do is to make sure that you are on the announcement list for when the Summer of Love is going to kick off, which is just in a few weeks. It's going to be one of my most, I want to say melodic. What I think I mean is deep, rhythmic, and practical offerings ever. DanielleLaporte.com/membership. Be first to know when the doors are open. Summer of Love, y'all. No matter what hemisphere you're in for the rest of your life. So may all of the vehicles of healing that we call relationships be blessed by our awareness, by our intention to be compassionate with all the gnarly stuff in ourselves that we've been pushing away, and to see the other person as ourselves and proceed from there. I will be here next Wednesday, always with love, Danielle. Thank you so much for listening, for feeling, for spreading the word with love.